to pull that off. You know, one of the things that's really clear to me is that we have enormous opportunities, for sure. There's lots of opportunities that are right there in front of us. There's a number of contacts that we have that we can capitalize on, and that's really exciting. You know, it's really exciting to be able to just have something where they can come get to know and see Christ in us, and to be able to start to establish relationships. And long before you get the study, you get the contact. You know, and that goes progressively. So I really appreciate all you guys being there. Really appreciate Jeremy heading it up, and all the work that everybody did to really make it happen. And so really encouraged and appreciative of that. Kevin Simpson is my father-in-law, and he will be here next Sunday afternoon. I'm really excited for you guys to get to meet Kevin. Do not have any expectations as far as Brenna and making assumptions as to what her father is like. I will say that. Mr. Simpson is quite the eccentric fellow. I'm really excited, though, for you guys to get to know Mr. Simpson, and for him to really get to know you guys. He really is I would call him a scholar of the Old Testament. A lot of really good information that Kevin has to bring. I'm excited. He's going to work on some types with us, and you know, Kevin has been around. I'm a little bit surprised you haven't met him, Jeremy. Do you ever go to Grundy Prayer Clinic? So you may have met him and not known it in about 92 or 93, because that's when I first met him and don't remember it. So little did I know that I would be marrying his daughter someday. So but I'm excited to have him bring a Sunday school lesson for us next week. So we can go ahead and get started. You know, we've been doing a series on faith, and I don't plan on spending a whole bunch more time defining it, but I want us to spend time putting some definitions forth and giving it a proper justice. And so, you know, we went over faith last week, and then 2 weeks prior to last week, so 3 weeks ago, you know, was the start of that defining faith. And we started with, okay, what is a saving faith? And so if you would have listened to like just last week's message without the one from 3 weeks ago, it would have been you would have felt like we're jumping in the middle of something. So if you happen to miss that from 3 weeks ago, I would encourage you to go back and to listen. But biblical faith is active, but that action with biblical faith doesn't equal works. And we spent quite a bit of time defining that 3 weeks ago. But, you know, you can use a number of different illustrations. But let's say somebody is in a situation, they're in the middle of an ocean, okay, and they are going to be, you know, they're going to be lost on the ocean if somebody doesn't come save them. So you get a chopper come overhead. The chopper throws down a rope to them, and to save the individual. And the individual says, no, I'm not going to grab the rope because God's going to save me. God was saving you. He provided the helicopter and the rope. Okay, it wasn't you saving yourself by not taking a hold of the rope. So is there action involved on the recipient of the one being saved? Absolutely. Are they saved by their own power? Is there anything that individual could do to save themselves outside of saving from someone else? Absolutely not. Outside of Jesus' blood, nobody's getting saved. But works of the law can't save anybody, and only a biblical faith does save people. And we looked at that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3.
We're just going to review this just for a second, and we'll get on to what we're talking about today. Galatians 3, verses 2 through 7. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he then, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that those who are of faith, who are sons of Abraham. So, it's obvious that the works of the law cannot save an individual, that only faith can save. And we define saving faith as believing the gospel message about Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, that he was God in the flesh, came down, lived the perfect life, sacrificed himself for us on the cross, bodily resurrected and ascended to glory. And so we believe that message, and then we have a decision to conform our thoughts to his. Hey, I am going to decide to think God's way. And we call that repentance. And we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and we are immersed into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, our scripture of the month, make it very clear, okay, that immersion is a part of faith, an essential part of faith, just like belief, repentance, confession are also essential parts of faith. So we supply the faith, God supplies the work. But the Christian then continues to live by faith. Not only are we saved by faith, we are continually saved by faith. See, a lot of times, and we're not going to spend, I've said that once or twice already today, but okay, in Romans, a lot of times in Romans, when it's talking about being saved by faith, especially in those first three or four chapters, a lot of times being justified by faith is not just talking about our initial justification. Okay? Not just talking about when you are saved, but we are continually saved by faith. The Christian is saved by his faith on an ongoing basis. It's because the Christian lives by faith. Galatians chapter 2, it should be right there. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Okay, Christian lives by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So, last week we talked about and established that faith is believing what God says to believe about the realm that you can't see. Believing what God says to believe about the realm that you can't see. That's what faith is. Jesus proves himself true for our benefit so that we can believe the testimony about Jesus without seeing Jesus with our physical eyes. See, he leaves the reasonable proof, and that's why we start with proof that the Bible is the Word of God, because he leaves reasonable proof so that we didn't see Jesus with our physical eye. Now, one of us did, okay? But we know because the testimony is true, and we can establish the truthfulness of the testimony, okay, that Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus lived that perfect life on and on with what we established as the gospel earlier. So, and John alludes to that. Let's go to John chapter 20. John 20, verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see, yet believed." See, blessed are they who didn't see Jesus with the physical eye and yet believed. Does that belief still need to be reasonable? Does that belief still need to be based upon truth? Yeah, absolutely. Those things have to be in place. But we didn't see Jesus with our physical eyes 2,000 years ago, right? No, seeing Jesus with our physical eyes. So we believe the picture that God presents about Jesus in the scripture. But that's just where it starts. See, God gives us a picture, believing what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see. God gives us a picture at our immersions as well. And we talked a little bit about seeing with our spiritual eyes. Okay, but God establishes the scripture as true, not only so that we can believe the testimony about Jesus, but then also that we can establish what the scripture says about us is true too. It is one thing to say, "Oh yeah, I believe what this says about Jesus." Well, then we get to make it personal, right? Is the Bible still the Word of God? So it's still the Word of God when it applies to me on a personal level. Well, that seems to be... Then our mind has a tendency to come up with... Maybe yours doesn't. Has a tendency to come up with excuses, right? Or to come up with reasons why that doesn't apply to me. Or reasons why maybe it super applies to me, right? So like, it's good for everybody else, but probably I'm exempt from that because. Okay? No, we establish the Bible to be true so that we can read and see ourselves in the scripture, to believe the picture that God gives to each and every one of us at our immersion. To say, yes, this is true about me. Some basic stuff for probably many of us in this room, but this is the crux of faith, is believing the picture that God gives to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Does that happen? Do we see that in the physical realm? Bob, other than wet, do you look any different after your immersion than before your immersion? Maybe a bigger smile, right? Okay. You look like Bob, right? Right. So, physically, with our physical eyes, you don't see anything different. A lot of times, the feeling maybe isn't a lot different. Maybe you have a recognition. If you've had a guilty conscience all your life, right, and you know, okay, that, hey, that conscience just got wiped away, there might be some feelings associated with that, right? But it's not like you felt the power of the Holy Spirit enter your body. You know, you didn't have anything like that take place, right? So we're immersed into Christ, and if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. There's a whole lot of things that happen spiritually there, right? There's the death of an old man, right? And a new creative act of a new man who is born in the image with the Spirit of God. Okay? Now that brand new man that has Christ's Spirit within him rises at our immersion. And then we continue to believe that on a daily basis. See, that's all happening in the realm of the spiritual. It's all happening in the realm of you can't see it, right? Can you see forgiveness of sins? Can't see it, right? Do you know that it's true that when we're saved by faith that our sins get forgiven? Yeah. But we know that, okay? We know that based upon faith. Something that you can't, believing what God says to believe about the realm that you can't see. Look, you haven't seen it anyway. Who knows about that realm? God does. It would be a pretty good idea to believe him. He's the one who knows about that realm. Right? Probably be a pretty good idea to believe what he has to say about the spiritual realm. Okay? Is that sometimes tough for physical creatures to do? Yep, there's a challenge there. But that's why we're encouraged to not be fleshly, but to be of the Spirit. So there's a picture given, and the true reality is that which God tells us is true by faith. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in immersion, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Okay, you were okay. You were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, the removal of the body of flesh. Did we see the removal of the body of flesh? No, not something that we beheld with the physical eyes. Okay, is we talked about in other places of Scripture the circumcision of the heart, right? Anybody see the circumcision of the heart? Anybody see their brand new heart that they were given? No. Okay, but it's a picture that we believe by faith about somebody who knows what he's talking about that realm, right? He knows what he's talking about. It's the picture that's given. You are a new creation. Picture given, okay? And then we live by that reality. Okay, there's a spiritual circumcision that takes place. Picture given, okay? We live by that reality. Let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 1. See, and unless these pictures are burned into our mind, there's not going to be any acts of faith or works of faith that follow. Picture comes first. Works of faith follow that picture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. A couple of things for us to notice here. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Well, that's totally a physical thing, right? You have surgeries that you prepare for, Reuben, with the eyes of people's hearts. Right? It's talking, hey, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You see something spiritual, right? so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of his glory and the inheritance of the saints. That's talking like when your rich grandpa dies, right? Well, okay, it is talking about, okay, the true riches, okay, that are going on. What is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You see that? And seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Did you see that? Nobody beheld Christ on the other side of that cloud. The apostles are standing up there gazing, right? And Jesus disappears on the other side of the cloud. Nobody saw that with their physical eyes. Do we know that that happened? Do we know that Christ offered his blood in glory and sat down at the right hand of the Father? Yeah, by faith. The picture given is that all of these things happen, and that is what is assured. That is what we know is true. That's more sure than anything that you think you've seen with your physical eyes, is that Jesus on the other side of the cloud, okay, is at the right hand of God. He is seated on the throne in glory. Is that not what we're seeing with our physical eyes? I really appreciated the scripture that we went to earlier. Let's go back there in Colossians. That Reuben brought forth. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, do you see that take place? That takes place by faith. You've been raised up with Christ at our immersions. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. Why? Because that's where you're already at. Well, I feel like I'm sitting in a pew. That's nice. Who knows about the realm that you can't see? Okay. Where are we all really at by faith? With Christ, seated with him on the throne. That is where you are at. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're seated with him in glory right now. But that's all taken place by faith. It's understanding by faith. Believing the picture that God gives to us when he says, this is you. You are a new creation. You are indwelled by the Spirit of God. You reside with Christ on the throne in glory. All of these things are taking place by faith. We live by faith. So we start out with a faith in Christ. We start out in a faith. Yep, this is true. Okay? Jesus is who Jesus said that Jesus was. Jesus is who Jesus is.
Okay, this is true. I need to make sure to get what I believe in line with what the scripture says about saving faith. Okay, but it just starts right there. That's the beginning. That's the faith in Christ. But we want Christ's faith. We don't just want faith in Christ. We want Christ's faith. His very faith. Okay, to believe what God says to believe about the realm that we can't see. We're given a picture. We believe that picture. We live that picture out. You live the picture out by faith. We transition to from faith in Christ to the faith of Christ. Christ's faith. Okay? And that faith has a as an outgrowth. You're going to see that faith demonstrated. If you don't believe that you're from here, you're gonna act a little different. We always say, right, this world is not my home, I'm just a path. You really believe that? Aren't your priorities gonna be a little different? The things that matter are gonna be a little bit different. If you're not storing yourself treasures here on the earth, they're going to change where our priorities are a little bit. We change what we value a little bit. If we really believe the picture that is given to us, lived out practically, somebody who's living by faith, that's going to look a whole lot different. And that's going to produce within the individual certain actions that are natural, because I'm not from here. I'm not from Lima. I'm not from Wauseon. I'm not from Ottawa or Columbus Grove or Pandora or anywhere else. I'm from glory. I'm from above. I'm with Christ. That's where I'm at. Okay? This is where we're at. By faith, that's the reality. The reality, that's the distraction. It is easy to get distracted. Right? I feel that. Right? Doors break. Stalls break. Right? That all feels pretty real. Right? This is a distraction. Right? This is souls, the picture that God gives to us that is the reality. We look through Hebrews 11. Now let's turn over there just real quick. Let's pick on Noah a little bit. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, and reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. A couple of things. God gave Noah a picture. Things not yet seen, right? What in the world is this flood going to look like? But God gives Noah a picture not only of what that might look like and the destruction that's going to take place there, but also the construction that he is to build, and he has this picture. And because he knows that this picture is going to be the salvation for him and his household, he acts based upon that picture. And he acts based upon that picture because he knows that that picture is the only thing that matters. The Bible calls that what? Faith. We've been given a picture. Okay, and it would be a challenge for each and every one of us on a daily basis to remember that that picture is the only thing that matters. Challenge. while we're here in the flesh, we continue to get challenged by that. But that picture is the only thing that matters. And then our actions are based upon that picture. Let's act by faith this week. Jeremy?